Hi there, I'm Dr. Trevor Cates. Welcome to the Spa Doctor Podcast. On today's podcast, we're talking about how to have better brain health. Who doesn't want to have better memory, focus, concentration? It'll help you perform better in work and in life in general. And as a bonus to all this, when you follow the tips in the interview, they're also great for your skin. My guest today is Dr. Stephen Masley. He is a physician, nutritionist, trained chef, author, and creator of the number one all-time health program for public television, 30 Days to a Younger Heart. He helps motivate people to tune up their brain and heart. Dr. Masley is a fellow with the American Heart Association, the American College of Nutrition, and the American Academy of Family Physicians, and is a clinical associate professor at the University of South Florida. His research focuses on the impact lifestyle choices have on our heart health, brain function, and aging. Dr. Masley is a best-selling author and has published several books, 10 Years Younger, The 30-Day Heart Tune-Up, Smart Fat, and his latest book, The Better Brain Solution. In today's interview, Dr. Masley shares his 5 steps to a better brain. We delve into each one of these, so by the end of the interview, you'll have great tips for your diet, nutrients, exercise, and other techniques to help you be sharper, more focused, and have better memory. So please enjoy this interview with Dr. Masley. Dr. Masley, it's so great to have you on my podcast.
Well, I'm delighted to get a chance to talk with you.
Yeah, so today we're talking about how to have a better brain, have a better functioning brain. I know that we all want to be sharper, more focused, have better memory. And certainly as we get older, it's something that it comes up a lot. It comes up a lot with my patients. They talk about they walk into a room and they can't remember why they were there or like, what was I looking for? What was that person's name? But at the same time, we want to be sharp because we want to not only are we wanting to live longer, but we want to have that quality of life. And our brain is a big part of that. So I'm so excited to talk to you today about how we can have all these things.
Well, there are some simple steps we can take that will really improve our brain. So it's not hard. 5 easy steps to be sharper, quicker, more productive, less forgetful, and feel better at the same time. And many of these steps, not only are they good for our brain, they're good for our skin too.
Perfect. I always love it when we can tie it into skin. And you're right. So much of the time when we address root causes and we really focus on the foundation of good health, it's going to help our body in a number of ways, our brain and our skin included in that. So let's go through these steps. And which one do you want to start with?
Well, I like starting with food. But I should say, you know, as maybe an intro to that, when we think embryologically, when babies are forming in the womb, the neurologic tissue and the skin tissue, it's really intimately related and they develop simultaneously. So it's not surprising that the things that would be good for your brain are really good for your skin. But if we were to start with food, I have foods I want people to add and a couple things I want them to avoid. I don't think you'll be surprised by the avoiding, but maybe some of the adding ones. And maybe I should just start with the number one food to add would be green leafy vegetables. And we know when people eat one cup of greens a day, their brain is 11 years younger than someone who doesn't eat them. 11 years. I mean, that's pretty dramatic from just a cup of broccoli or kale or spinach or something like that. And those green pigments protect our sun when we're outside. Beets increase blood supply to the brain. They're awesome. Dark chocolate and cocoa are really good for your brain. There's actually studies that people who have mild cognitive loss, if they start having cocoa more often, their brain improves and even gets better. And then tea, some catechins in tea. So all those pigments protect our brain from damage and give us a better brain.
Awesome. And of course, those are also great for the skin. Like, you mentioned those. So let's talk about the ones that are not good for us. What are the ones that are absolutely the ones we must avoid?
Well, the number one cause, right now we face premature memory loss, accelerated memory loss. Alzheimer's rate is going to double in just the next 12 years. 12 to 15 years, we're going to have 200% increase. And the biggest reason for that is sugar. that people are eating too much sugar. It's making them inflammation. We know when we eat too much sugar, we not only do we gain weight, we probably have accelerated wrinkling in our skin when we have a sugar, you know, sugar craze all the time. But when you have too much sugar, it injures the brain. We become, there's a hormone. Let me try to see if I can explain this simply. But if we eat too many refined carbs like sugar and flour and other refined carbs or drink sodas, our sugar soars, our insulin soars, and the cells stop listening. It's like, hey, we're full. I don't need your message anymore. I'm full of energy. I'm not going to store anymore. And they become insulin resistant. But when brain cells become insulin resistant, they're paralyzed. Do functional MRI and you actually like do a PET scan, brain cells are like dead quiet. They're starving for energy at the same time the blood sugar levels are elevated. It's really ironic. And the second feature is when you're eating too much sugar, the same enzyme that gets rid of insulin gets rid of beta amyloid. That's the pigment with Alzheimer's disease. So literally, when people are having sugar binges, they're growing more beta amyloid and causing inflammation. So sugar and flour are the number one foods you want to get rid of if you really want to protect your brain.
Well, and that's so great to hear those issues. You know, I talk a lot about skin with glycation issues, that people eat too much sugar. I mean, that, you know, creates glycation issues in the body and speeds up the aging of the skin and creates issues of acne breakouts and things. So, I mean, it's really interesting to see how it impacts the brain and that inflammation part. And inflammation is one of the big issues with one of the big root cause issues with a lot of brain problems, right, is inflammation.
Well, it is. It's of all aspects of aging, for our arteries, for our heart, for our brain, for our skin. All inflammation just accelerates all aspects of aging. But to me, the worst aspect would be to lose your brain. Not only do we lose our identity, I mean, we have the potential to become a burden on people we love, and nobody would want that. And who wouldn't want to be quicker, sharper, more productive, less forgetful, to be able to get more done? When we take the right steps, our data, we've done randomized clinical trials, and we've shown that when people follow our program, their brain performance, their brain processing speed improves by 25 to 30%. So it's pretty amazing that we can really improve. It's like getting a better computer. Your brain actually functions that much better.
Well, that's so great, because again, I think a lot of times people think that once their brain stops working as well, since they start having these feelings of, you know, my memory's not as good, or I'm not as sharp as I used to be, they just think, oh, I'm just getting old and this is how it's going to be for the rest of my life. So it's so great to know that it's reversible to a certain extent from what you're saying. And with changes in lifestyle and like the diet changes. And we're talking about step one, and that's the diet, right? And it sounds like the
plant pigments, healthy fats, and avoiding sugar. And I'm sure, like for your skin, if someone's on a really low fat diet, their skin doesn't have the same texture consistency. So like our skin, our brain also needs healthy fats. So smart fats for your brain, more pigments, and cut out the sugar. Those are the keys to the Better Brain Solution for food.
Perfect. And I know you've talked about cardiovascular health too, and those kinds of things also protect your heart, right?
Oh, absolutely. The same program we use to help people shrink their artery plaque by 10 years improves brain performance by 25%. I mean, so there is a, just like there's a connection, there's also a heart brain connection, and the same things that are good for your skin help your brain, help your heart. I mean, it isn't too surprising when the body's all interlinked. I completely agree with you.
Great. So what's the next step?
So nutrients. There are some key nutrients we don't want to miss out on. Vitamin D, a good quality multi that's got mixed folates and enough B12. We want magnesium. Magnesium, 70% of people are magnesium. And between every brain cell, there's all these synaptic connections, and they're dependent on magnesium. And a lot of people, 70% of people are magnesium deficient. And fish oil. I mean, so if I was just to pick a few things, well, I guess one more, I'd say a probiotic to support our gut. And that's lowering inflammation. There's a gut-brain connection too. So a probiotic, good quality fish oil, either from like wild fish or from a supplement, a good multivitamin for B12 and folate, vitamin D, and magnesium. Those are key. Our research has shown in people who don't get those needs, their brain speed drops. They actually have a sluggish brain. And you replete those key nutrients, wow, it's pretty amazing. It really helps significantly.
Great. And you mentioned the gut-brain connection and probiotics. And I just want to remind people, and I talk about this too, there's a gut-brain-skin connection. And more research is coming out about this too. And so it's really interesting how this all ties in and goes, a lot of it goes back to the gut and improving our digestion, our microbiome, and all of that. So I'm glad you brought that part up. You know, when it comes to our brain, can we talk for a minute about what happens as we age and why people start to notice a difference in their cognition, memory, and things?
Well, with brain age, I mean, with skin age, you know, we lose collagen and the skin wrinkles and you know, even have the increase for skin cancer. But with brain aging, it's a little different. It's about, well, there's some similarities and maybe there's some slight differences. But in the brain, it's all about, can the brain keep making energy in a clean way that allows the brain cells to stay healthy? And when we're inflamed or when our blood sugar levels are too high, the brain cells stop making energy properly and they don't have much supply of like fat source in to use. They die pretty quickly. So as we age, when we don't eat well, we should be able to maintain our brain function into our 90s. There's no reason we can't do that. So it's not getting older, it's the choices we make as we age that age our brain. So if you had if you had an awesome lifestyle, you ate the right foods, you met your nutrient needs, you were fit, you managed your stress, you avoided brain toxins, if you did those five things, you're going to protect you're going to be sharper, quicker, more productive, and prevent heart disease and memory loss. And your skin would look great too.
That's great. I love that. And so with these nutrients that you mentioned, what is it about vitamin D, for example, that is so important for the brain?
Vitamin D is really a hormone. We call it a vitamin, right? But once we absorb it, it acts like a hormone in every cell in our body. Our DNA production process is impacted by vitamin D. So, you know, it tells the proteins to rebuild and replace themselves. When our vitamin D levels drop, a brain cell might just say, I might as well just die. I don't have enough vitamin D. I mean, literally, they stop doing the protein synthesis that keeps the brain going and functioning. So it's just, you know, for our bone, we lose bone mass. We grow more plaque. Our brain literally shrinks. Our skin, we're more likely to get skin cancer when our vitamin D drops. I mean, it's essential for DNA repair and production and synthesis. So nothing, and cancer risk. I mean, wow. I was just at a meeting and we were talking about, we should be able to prevent 60 to 80% of cancer today if we get people's vitamin D to the right point. So, I mean, super, super important.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's a great point about vitamin D, such an important nutrient or hormone. And then what about, you mentioned magnesium, and I think that might surprise some people because I think people think of magnesium more for if they're like muscle cramps, muscle spasms, or headaches, or, you know, there's certain things that magnesium is thought for, but not many people think of it as a nutrient. It's not one of the first things that comes to mind for the brain. So can you explain why magnesium is so important for brain health?
Well, between each brain cell, you've got these synaptic connections. It's like wiring in a computer where all these circuits go back and forth. And the brains use magnesium for that synaptic connection. So without it, your brain speed plummets and drops. So, you know, we need it for the heart to contract. We need it for muscles to contract and relax. You know, people get migraine headaches. You said muscle cramps, constipation, their blood pressure and blood sugar are dependent, but brain function, the connectivity between brain cells is dependent on magnesium.
Okay, perfect. Thanks for sharing that. And then when you mentioned multivitamin as really important, because there are a lot of nutrients that are important for for the brain and for those synaptic connections and things. So is that why you want to just make sure that you're not missing out on any of those nutrients, those micronutrients that you need?
Well, Dr. Cates, you're making a really good point, because there's like 15 or 20 critical nutrients that could come in if you take the right multi. I'm not talking about just anything you buy at the grocery store, but when you buy the right one, you're getting mixed folates, not just folic acid. And folates are essential for protecting DNA, protecting the DNA, the cellular part of your body. We get cancer without them. We get abnormal growth. And my study from my clinic shows if your folate levels are low, you have decreased brain speed and performance. So mixed folates instead of folic acid would be one point. B12, if your B12 levels are low, you can get permanent irreversible dementia, memory loss. I mean, that's awful, or other nerve damage. So nobody should ever be B12 deficient. That would be really regrettable. When we think about chromium for insulin sensitivity, we want good blood sugar control. You need chromium. For your thyroid, you need enough iodine. And to convert the hormone from T4 to T3, the active thyroid hormone, which gives you mental function, you need selenium. So there's all these, this long list. Let alone you could get your vitamin D in a multi. So you can get a lot of things from a good quality multi that are really essential. You're not going to find magnesium because it's such a big molecule. You'd have to take that separately. You're not going to really find fish oil in a single pill. And you won't get a probiotic. So if you had a really good multi, probiotic, fish oil, magnesium. I mean, yet there's other, could you take other things like curcumin? Absolutely. But I think you'd have the main essential nutrients for your brain covered.
Yeah, I think those are really great points. And I know that in my practice, my patients will come in with all those different bottles of supplements. And I remind them, if you take a really high quality multivitamin, you can get a lot of what you're getting in all those different bottles. So you can minimize the amount of pills that you're taking every day. And like you said, there are certain ones you're not going to find in a multi, or you're not going to get the right amounts that somebody might need, especially depending upon if they have particular health issues. But a really high quality multi is important. So let's talk about that for a moment. How do people know if they're taking a high quality multi?
Well, you can look at the ingredients. It should say mixed folates. There should be at least 100 micrograms of B, 50 or 100 micrograms of B12. You could get your vitamin D separately, but if you want to get it from the multi, I think you probably need at least 2,000 international units of vitamin D. And the minerals, a really easy way to look at quality is look for protein-bound minerals, like not magnesium oxide, but magnesium glycinate or zinc glycinate or chelated minerals. I'm looking at if they are they salts or mineral. Oh, a really important point for your brain is copper. That's also, if you have inorganic copper, that increases your Alzheimer's risk and diabetes risk. You want organic copper. So some protein-bound stores of copper, if there's even, I mean, some people could say no copper, and I'd be fine with that because you can get it from nuts and seeds and green leafies. But inorganic copper is absolutely something you want to avoid. So if you see like copper sulfate, I usually try to avoid that.
Right. Okay. Perfect. Thank you for pointing that out. Really great information. Thank you for sharing that. What now? You mentioned as one of the five steps. You kind of ran through them pretty quickly there a moment ago. You mentioned exercise as being one of them. What kind of exercise do we need for good brain health?
Well, the studies from our clinic showed there was two. You get double benefit. It's independent benefit. When you do an aerobic activity, and you get your heart rate up. That has a clear benefit. So you want to get sweaty and raise your heart rate, and that improves brain speed. But when you do strength training, you know, you build muscle mass, your brain, you get these neurotropic factors, and your brain actually enlarges. Even 80-year-olds have been shown when they do a strength training program with weights, their brain gets bigger, especially the hippocampus, the memory center. So we really want aerobic and strength training. I don't know if I should share this, but you know, you and I go to, I see you at meetings, and you and I are always there in the gym in the morning. So I love, you know, the fact that you, you preach what you do what you preach. You know, you're there working out. I don't know if I'm outing you or not. I've always been a big fan of yours because you eat healthy food, you take care of yourself, you look great, you exercise. I mean,
yeah, I know. I love that you and your wife are always in there with, you know, we're always in there in the mornings right before we get ready to go into a conference or something. I know, I'll see you in the gym.
But you are too. Yep. So, and I noticed you're doing aerobic and you're doing strength training. So that's what's good for your brain, is you really want both have benefit independent of the other. You get the maximum benefit. You want both.
Right. Perfect. I mean, you know, again, it goes across so many different spectrums, protecting your heart, protecting, you know, with healthy aging and all of that. It certainly goes across. So let's talk about stress, because you mentioned that one too. What do you suggest for, and what role does stress play on the brain?
Okay, so we have good stress, like we're preparing to, you know, some launch or product, or we're doing a talk or something. That gives us purpose and challenge. That's great. The challenge with stress, if you have everyday stressors that stress you out and it's chronic, and we don't proactively manage it, our cortisol goes up. And cortisol is not a friendly hormone. It's fine when we're being chased by a burglar and we're trying to get out of the way, or a lion was chasing us and we tried to climb a tree to get out of the way. That gives us a survival mechanism. But when it's every day, cortisol, it grows artery plaque. You know, it's bad for bones. It shrinks your bones. It's bad for your skin. And it shrinks your brain. If you have high cortisol, literally the hippocampus, the memory center of your brain, shrinks. So we have to take steps proactively to manage our stress. I mean, the three big tools for me would be, one, a workout, sweat. Two, get a good night's sleep. And three, schedule 10 minutes a day for like meditation, do heart math, something that brings the cortisol down. And makes us more peaceful and calm.
Perfect. You mentioned heart math. Explain to people what that is for people who don't know what that is.
So there's a great deal of connection between the heart and the brain, and you can see it in your heart rate. Your heart rate should go up and down and up and down in a nice smooth variation as we breathe. And when we're stressed out, our cortisol's up, but our adrenaline's up, and our heart rate just tends to stay a little bit slightly elevated and flat without variation. So, and I can see it in my clinic. When we do these clinic evals, we do like 100 markers of aging, and heart math is one of those. So in people who have a flat score, it turns red instead of blue or green. Green being calm, blue's okay calm, red is agitated. So I have people who are trying to meditate, and they're all red. They're still agitated. There's no heart rate variability. And they're all stressed out. Their cortisol levels are surging. When I do their blood work, I can see they have low DHEA. And if their DHEA is, we know that's bad for your skin too. You're going to wrinkle more if you have low DHEA. So stress, not only does it shrink your brain, it impacts your adrenal glands, so you make less of this hormone DHEA, which we need for bone health, for skin health, and for our brain and energy. So unmanaged stress has all these aging aspects that cripple us, and they make us look bad, and then we can't think well, which even makes it worse. So I'm just so heart math is this connection where you can measure, you get biofeedback on, are you good at being calm? And 10 minutes a day has had amazing benefits in my patients.
Yeah, and it is something that a lot of times people have to work their way up to, right? 10 minutes isn't easy for everybody. I certainly have had patients say, I don't know how I can do any of that for 10 minutes. So what do you suggest for people if they're just starting to get into some sort of meditation or breath work, some sort of stress management technique? What's an easy way to start it if it's not part of your daily routine?
Well, the tool helps because it gives you feedback. It just tells you what state are you at. And then you're just trying to think of a calm, happy place. I'm on a mountaintop in the summertime when the flowers are out, or I'm at the beach in Florida, or I'm somewhere calm, I'm grateful, and can I change my coloration, look more green? I don't have to worry about my heart rate pattern, that would be way too complicated, but this idea of red, blue, or green, that's pretty clear. So you can do it while you're at work, you can actually do it when you're typing? Are you in a calm, focused state, or are you in an agitated state? You're not very productive. So in some ways, you could practice it during daily life, and then you could take a few moments to try to think of something peaceful and calm to get it green. The challenge is, how can I make it green longer? It's actually a really easy, useful tool.
I love that. I think that's fantastic. And I think that that is such a good tip, because it's so quick to get into that state if you can think of being in that calm, peaceful place. I really think that's powerful. And I want to, you know, talk about that for a minute, because like for me, one of the things that I do, because a lot of times people will think of maybe being on the beach or on a mountaintop or a place. For me, one of the things that really helps me is I think about my youngest daughter sleeping. And there's something okay. about seeing her sleeping, you know, like a child sleeping is one of the sweetest things for me.
I know, it's like heartwarming, isn't it? Just the thought of it.
Yeah, right. So if I'm having a stressful moment or when I'm trying to fall asleep at night sometimes too, and I'm, you know, my mind's racing or I'm, you know, I can't calm down, that is one of the things that I do is I picture her and I really think about how I feel when I look at her and she's sleeping. And it works for me every time. And so I encourage people to find that thing, because it can be so quick to help you shift into that state. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Oh, well, and I'm really glad. I'm going to use, if with your permission, I'm going to use that tip. I think that's really smart, because, you know, sleep like a baby, you know, it's like this. That's actually really neat. I'm going to share that more often.
Yeah, it's a great one. And then, yeah, I think if people just start gradually, they can work their way up to 10 minutes. And then hopefully maybe even more than that. Some people can meditate for sure longer than 10 minutes.
I think there's benefit to longer, but you get a big benefit at 10 minutes a day.
Yeah.
When you get good at it. At first, see, here's the thing. I have people meditate and they're all agitated. Their mind's just roaring the whole time that they're sitting there in this om-like position. So it's about teaching them, don't waste your time trying to meditate if you can't do it. Get some feedback so you can get to a proper state.
That's great. I love that. Okay, so we've talked about diet. We've talked about nutrients. We've talked about exercise, stress management. And what's the fifth step?
There's some key brain toxins out there we want to avoid that are bad for us. I mean, obviously smoking, it's terrible for your skin. You wrinkle a lot more. It's bad for your brain. It's bad for your heart. I mean, I don't think I need to go on. We shouldn't smoke. Alcohol in excess. Yes, one or two glasses of red wine a day are actually good for your brain, but more than that is not good. So beware. But there's some surprise ones out there. Like people who eat a lot of tuna, big mouth fish, grouper tuna, bass, swordfish, they get mercury. Well, a third of my patients in my clinic have high mercury levels. And it slows their brain speed. It's hurting their brain. And very high levels are associated with serious neurologic harm. So we either need to cut back on big mouth fish, so we learned in our clinic, if people are eating tuna, grouper, snapper, bass, swordfish more than 2 to 3 times a month, they're at risk, and they should probably check their mercury level. And if it's high, cut back. Another one is maybe the surprise one, not food groups that you'd probably recommend, but all these processed meats, sandwich meats, bacon, ham. Most of them, they sprinkle nitrosamines on them to preserve the shelf life. But nitrosamines, we've known for a lot of time that they cause cancer. But now, recently, we've learned when we give them to like lab animals, they get a blood sugar jump and they get neurodegeneration. They get brain cell death. So we're learning that these nitrosamines they put on bacon, for example, cause blood sugar elevation and death of your brain cells. I mean, that's really bad. Who would have thought? I go out and have some bacon, I'm killing off brain cells when I do it. But so people need to be eating clean protein. If you're going to eat any of these proteins, it needs to be organically pasture raised, and they're not sprinkling nitrosamines on them. So that's a serious brain toxin that's very common that we've got to avoid.
Now, nitrosamines are not in all pork products or sandwich meats or bacon, right? I mean, that's something that's added, is what you're saying.
Exactly. You're totally right. It's an additive they put on to extend shelf life, make a bigger profit for the company at our demise.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So it's not that the animal products are bad. It's how they treat them. So it's very important to buy pasture raised and nitrosamine free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Okay, so that'll help us reduce those toxic elements that are gonna, you know, worsen brain function. And okay, great. So those are the five steps, right?
Five steps, and if you follow them, your brain speed improves. You're quicker, sharper, more productive, less forgetful, and you're protecting your heart. You're protecting your brain, and you're helping your skin at the same time.
Perfect. And you're doing you have a PBS special that is that coming up soon?
Well, the new book, The Better Brain Solution, comes out in January. And then we have a PBS show that comes out in March.
How great.
And So that's a little bit off, but it's coming soon. And something we're offering right now to help people get interested is a quiz to measure how's your brain, a brain symptom score. How's your brain doing? A 2-minute quiz someone could easily take and get some information. And if they take the quiz, we'd like to offer like a better brain shopping guide. What are the 12 foods you should buy for a better brain and the 12 foods you absolutely should avoid?
Okay, I love that. Okay, so now I want to tell everybody, there are a lot of quizzes out there, and you and I've talked about your quiz, and yours is more comprehensive than the typical quiz. There are a lot of quizzes out there that are short, they don't really give you a lot of information, but you spent a lot of time creating your quiz, right? And making sure that people are going to get a lot of value out of that. It's not just some sort of number that means nothing. It's actually going to give them a lot of great information, right?
It's pretty significant. So, I mean, there are quizzes out there like the mini mental state examination. What year is it? Who's the president? Can you subtract 3 from 100? I mean, kind of dumb. If you can't answer those questions, you're already demented and it's too late. I mean, that's what they use in the hospital and doctor's offices. Questions like that. What city are you in? If you don't know what city you're in, you're in really bad trouble. This is much more like, things. I'll give you a couple examples. Can you measure a 7-digit phone number long enough to dial it? Well, you certainly should. And there's geographic memory where you lose location. So there's there's brain functioning, like when you get interrupted, how quickly can you get back into your activity? That has to do with your processing speed or your geographic memory or your number memory. Can you verbally remember it? So we're trying to do something more advanced. Areas where you may not get all the answers right, but that's not necessarily bad. Some people have never been good with names and they never will be. So that's not a problem, but trying to identify 10 different aspects of brain performance that are easy to, a 2-minute test that's really quick, and then, give you an idea of what's your brain score. So if you're missing several of those, okay, we've got a problem. I would actually then suggest testing that you might want to do with your doctor. So, because early we can make a difference. If you wait till your brain is shot and it's shrunk from a grape to a raisin, that's really hard to deal with. It's so easy to prevent memory loss and improve your function. I don't want people to wait till they've got a really bad score. And then, as a bonus, we put in this shopping guide to really make sure that people get those 10 foods when they go to the store that are really super good for your brain.
Oh, awesome. That's so great. And so we'll have the link up for that quiz on my website so that people can take that and they can get the shopping list and all that great stuff. So and so your book is coming out when again, and where can people find it once it comes out?
January 2nd, wherever books are sold. I mean, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Millions, wherever you go, the book Target, everywhere, the book, it'll be there. So.
And the name of the book is?
The Better Brain Solution. Oh, here, I think I'm going to reach out and grab it. I should have thought of that and had it closer. There's our cover right there.
Perfect. Fantastic. I'm excited to read it. Okay, so the Better Brain Solution. Awesome. Dr. Masley, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing this information. Your five steps have been really valuable. Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this interview today with Dr. Stephen Masley, and I hope you get some great tips on how to have better brain health, to learn more about Dr. Masley, and to take the quiz that he mentioned, which I think is a great tool to learn more about your brain, and also you'll get that shopping list that he mentioned. So to do that, just go to thespadoctor.com, go to the podcast page with his interview, and you'll find all the information and links there. And while you're there on the website, I invite you to join the Spa Doctor community. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so you don't miss any of our upcoming shows. And if you haven't done so already, I highly recommend that you take the skin quiz also. While you're taking quizzes, you might want to take the skin quiz too. You can go to theskinquiz.com. It's free and it'll give you great information about what your skin may be trying to tell you about your health and the root causes behind it. Definitely, there's a great brain-skin connection, right? So both of these will be valuable. Again, just go to theskinquiz.com. Also, I invite you to join me on social media, on Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, and join the conversation. And I'll see you next time on the Spa Doctor podcast.